Seventh Canto, Chapter 15, Text Number 30. Translation and Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who desires to conquer the mind must leave the company of his family and live in a solitary place, free from contaminated association. To maintain the body and soul together, he should beg as much as he needs for the bare necessities of life. Purport. This is the process for conquering the agitation of the mind. One is recommended to leave family life and live alone, maintaining body and soul together by begging alms and eating only as much as needed to keep himself alive. Without such a process, one cannot conquer lusty desires. Sannyas means accepting a life of begging, which makes one automatically very humble and meek and free from lusty desires. In this regard, the following verse appears in Smriti literature. Dvandvahatasya garhashtyam dhyana bhangari karanam lakshyatva grihi svashtam. Sannyas said, avicharyan. In this world of duality, family life is the cause that spoils one's spiritual life or meditation. Specifically, understanding this fact, one should accept the sannyas order of life without hesitation. Om and kanatimirandasya gananjana shulakaya chakshuram militamina tasmai shri guravena Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaitigarada Sri Vasya Gaur Bhakti Tvevasmi na jivami tvaya vina iti vigyaya devitam naimam charnantikam. This verse begins the section of Srimad Bhagavatam which describes the yoga process, which specifically points at the taking of sannyas. In this next section we'll hear about what one does when one goes to the forest, how he practices yoga, how he cultivates detachment and purifies the mind by the Astanga system, meditation, sitting in a solitary place, breathing, pranayama. So this is the opening verse of this section, and it talks about the basic principles of every devotee, what to speak of every vairagya or vairagi. Living in a solitary place and nisanga, free from bad association, conquering the mind, chitta vijaye. These are all activities that all of us must do, whether we're sannyasis, grihasthas, brahmacharis. We must try to avoid bad association, nisanga. And we must try to live in a solitary situation. In other words, not engage in materialistic activities, fix our mind on Krishna, and try to conquer the mind. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan because he conquers the mind of Cupid. He can conquer the mind of Cupid. And he conquers the minds of all the gopis with his five beautiful features. There's the sound of his voice and the touch of his hand and the smell of his body and the taste of his lips and the hearing of the sound, touch, taste, smell, all the different senses, everything of Krishna. That's why he's known as Madan Mohan, because he conquers the mind of Cupid. He conquers the senses of the gopis. And moreover, he conquers the senses of the devotees who engage in his service. But here we see that the great sages and rishis have advocated that it's very difficult to conquer the mind. So what to do? How to conquer the mind? Because the mind is a point of liberation and the mind is a point of bondage. It is a pivot point. The mind is not controlled and one stays bound in this world. So therefore they enjoin everyone to take sannyas. Traditionally people would live to be 100 years old. So at the halfway point, the Vedas tell us that when you reach halfway, if you live to be 100, which of course in Kali Yuga is not guaranteed. In fact, very few people live to be 100. But the formula is, at the halfway point, you should take vanapras. Go to the van and live in a very renounced situation in the forest. And then at the three-quarter point, after 75% of your life is finished, you should take sannyas. At least especially if you're born in a Brahmin family. Upper class people are enjoined to take sannyas. So the formula is 50% and 75%. So nowadays people live to be 70 years old, 70, 80 at maximum. So that means at the age of 35, the halfway point, at 35 years old, you should take vanaprast. Vivo. And at 55 or 56, you should take sannyas. So Prabhupada, formally is at halfway point, one takes vanaprast. So that means 35. Okay, you live to be 80? Then when you're 40 years old, take vanaprast. So I did, Maharaj. I moved to Vrindavan. I bought my blender with me. I bought my toaster. I bought my pizza oven. I bought my motorcycle. I bought my race car. I bought my airplane. I bought my swimming pool. I took vanaprast. I came to the forest of Vrindavan, Maharaj. Acha, okay, very good. Very nice vanaprast life you have. Such an austere, humble situation. This little kutir you have that only costs 35 lakhs. Okay, fine, no problem. That is a very nice vanaprast. Now, that's at the halfway point. So then at the two-thirds point, you should take sannyas. So if you live to be 80, the two-thirds point is 60. 60 years old. So good luck if you think you'll live to be 80. So that means when we're looking at like 55 years old or coming on 60, we should be thinking seriously about sannyas. But the question is, are we? So of course, the Vedas aren't so fanatical as I may sound. Of course, a sannyasi must sound fanatical. If he's a sannyasi, I didn't plan it. They said, you give verse class today, and the verse is about sannyas, bhikshu, Chidandi bhikshu. He's a beggar. He's begging Krishna with his mind. Oh, Krishna, please come in my mind. Chidandi bhikshu. Kayo, mano, vak. Body, mind, and words. So he's with his mind, he's begging Krishna. Oh, I'm a bhikshu, Krishna, I'm begging you. Please sit in my mind. Please let my mind become cleansed like the Gundicha Mandir. So you'll sit there. And when you sit there, then I can do Sri Vigrahara, Dhananichanana, Shingharatan, Mandiramarjanando. If you sit in my mind, then I can worship you, your beautiful form, Sri Vigrahara, Dharani Chandana. This is Guru. Guru means Krishna sitting in his mind, and he's doing this daily puja, Manasi puja. Sri Vigrahara, Dharani Chandana, Chingaratan Mandira Marjanando. And he's always cleansing that mandir of the mind. There's a Bengali, a Bangladesh bhajan, talks about the mandir of the heart. Mama mandire rahashidine, something like that. About the mandir, the secret, the rahishi, the bhajan rahasyam, the secret mandir. Mama mandire, my mandir, the mandir of my heart. So the sannyasi is begging Krishna, oh Krishna, please, you have expanded yourself as Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and Divya Saraswati, the goddess of spiritual words. Please sit on my tongue. Please, I'm begging you, sit on my tongue so that I may always glorify you and speak about you with all my words. So that is why he's a beggar. So he's begging in this way. And then he's begging, oh Krishna, please, I'm begging you, please, you have so many representatives in the form of your demigods. You have 33 million demigods, and they are controlling everything. They are controlling the movements of my eyelids, the movements of my ears, the movements of my 10 life heirs. They're all controlled by personified deities that are the demigods that are appointed by you. They're your representatives. They're your controlling agents who are moving the elements of this material world and moving the features and aspects of my material body. So I am begging you, my dear Lord Krishna, Rishikesh, please engage all the different demigods controlling my body. And the sum total of my body, please engage my body in your service. This is the meaning of Tridandi Bhikshu. And then he's always beating with a stick of surrender and with a stick of submission. He's beating his mind to this point and beating his words and beating his body. So this is Bhikshu. So in one sense, everyone is meant to be a Bhikshu. But here, this verse in Bhagavatam is encouraging that it's very, very difficult because when we're living in the family situation, it is natural that we become attached to the body and the bodily expansions, the byproducts of our body, our wife and children, relatives, friends, husband. And that attachment, it breeds a suffering in the mind, which stuns us. The suffering of material attachment, it stuns, Prabhupada uses this word, it stuns the living entity with hankering and lamenting. hankering and lamenting. We're stunned by these two features. Paralysis, stumbha. So this is the problem with material attachment. So the Vedas say, cut it. All right, you enjoyed family life for 20 years, 30 years, now cut it. You were married at 20, now you're 60. You've been married for 40 years, now take sannyas. Why? What is the purpose of taking sannyas? To control the mind. So the life of a sannyasi, the activities that he engages in control the mind. So that's why some of those activities are listed here. There's the sambandha, and then there's the abhideya. So the sambandha is to develop this mood and this relationship of detachment from this world and renunciation of this body and all of our material desires and full attachment to Krishna. That is the foundation, the basis. Now, how do you do that? Well, live alone. Live in a solitary place. It says, Eko vivikta sharano. Eko vivikta sharano. Live alone. In a solitary place, vivikta, renounce, sharano, take shelter of such a solitary place. So then what does one do? He says you should do begging, because begging develops humility. You go door to door and people say, no, get out. Just like everyone knows, Prabhupada was so clever that he understood that this is the principle of yoga. This is the main basis of yoga, is control the mind. So Krishna, of course, directly discusses this in several verses in Bhagavad Gita about controlling the mind, because there's no question of yoga system without a serious technique for controlling the mind, whether it's meditation or tatrak or staring or fasting or flagellation or deprivation, or so many different systems different religions have to control the mind and subdue the great tiger of the mind. Just like a tiger. When you catch a tiger in the forest, he's powerful. He'll eat you in a second. So you have to subdue that tiger. You have to break that tiger and put him into submission. So how do you do it? The Prabhupada explained. You throw him in a steel cage and you lock the door. And you go away for 1 week. And you just forget about that tiger for a week, and the tiger's inside the cage. And after about 5 days, he has no power to growl or say anything. He's just lying in a corner. Ooh. So then you come in after a week with a whip in one hand, a gun in your belt, and a piece of Jagannath Mahaprasadam in the other hand. Jai Jagannath. So then you go and say, hey, Mr. Tiger, good morning. Get up, Jeev Jago. You have to do some tricks because, you know, you've been caught by the Barnum Bailey circus man. So now you have to learn how to jump through the hoop and jump through the fire and we have to do so many things with you. It's time to work. So finally, because he's been beaten into submission by denial and by neglect. By neglect. His senses have been neglected. He's been denied. And then gradually he becomes controlled by the circus man. This is a system. They starve him, and gradually they give him a little food, and then they whip him, and he gradually realizes that this man is my savior. This trainer, this man is my God. He's my savior. He's providing me sustenance. I must submit myself to him, otherwise I will die. So the mind, Prabhupada said, the mind can be conquered by neglect. Starve the mind. Neglect. Don't feed the mind. Neglect it. Just learn. We have to learn to disobey the orders of the mind. The mind is always dictating, do this, do that, and do this. Oh, this is a good idea. Why don't you do this? Yeah, that's a splendid idea. Let's go. So we have to learn how to disobey the orders of the mind. This is devotee. This is yogi. Of course, Arjuna says, Chanchala Himara Krishna. It's very difficult to control the mind. Very, very difficult. So, of course, Prabhupada, as I mentioned earlier about being fanatical, he says you can stay in the family life. There's no need to leave the family life, because I want to give a little balance here. I don't want everybody running away from their homes or anything. Because this is a problem. If everyone runs away from their homes, we have a problem called piety and sin. When we talk about the terms piety and sin, we are discussing relative terms. These conceptions are very relative and they depend on circumstances. We see that what is ordinarily considered sin becomes piety on the strength of Vedic injunctions. What is ordinarily considered sin becomes piety on the strength of Vedic injunctions. That's a quote from a purport written by Gopi Pranadana in the 11th canto. I have the author right in front of me, so I have a special empowerment. I just look at him and he's telling me everything to say. So this is an interesting thing. When 1 minute it's sinful, next minute it's pious. For example, and this is the example that Gurudev has given us, our Shiksha Guru. He says, your next door neighbor's house is burning down and all the babies and the wife are crying, help, help, help. So you go over there with a ladder and you take a big axe and you chop a hole in the roof of the house. You smash the roof of the house and you reach in and you grab out the wife and the children and you save them. So if you do that, you'll be considered a great hero. And that'll be a very pious deed and you'll be honored everywhere for saving those people from the burning house. Right? It's very pious. But if you went over to your neighbor's house in an ordinary day with an axe and climbed up on the roof and started chopping a hole in the roof of the house, that would be considered a criminal act. Most impious and unlawful. It's the same activity. If you went over there a normal day and started smashing up and chopping up someone's roof of their house, that's a great sin. So in the same way, ordinarily, this is where the analogy comes down, ordinarily for a man to leave his wife and family, is that person's considered thoughtless. Such a man is thoughtless and most insensitive and sinful. He left his wife and family and just ran off in the marketplace and he's running with these harlots and getting drunk. What a despicable character. Right? Did you hear about Mr. Gupta? He's wandering in Thailand. He left his family, took all the money. Ah, what a rogue, what a rascal. Everyone will curse him, right? He runs off with all the money and goes off to the Pattaya beach in Thailand to have a party. What will his wife, everyone, but if that same man, following Vedic injunctions, if he leaves his family and wife to take sannyas and he stays fixed on the higher spiritual platform of serving Krishna, he'll be honored as a great saintly person. Who's the example of that? His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He left his family. He left his pious wife. He left his children on Vedic injunction. Vedic injunction means the order of his guru. Guru Shastra Sadhu. And he became a great saintly person. Of course, he's saintly from birth, we know. But at least in terms of the analogy. So ordinarily, Swami left his family. Mr. Day left his family. No. He's honored. The demigods are glorifying. The whole universe is glorifying Srila Prabhupada. So here we see that it's actually pious. It's a great, wonderful thing to leave the family. However, if one can stay Krishna conscious, he can remain in the family life and become liberated. That's also explained in our system. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained the safest position in Kali Yuga is to remain in the family life. Stay there, but become Krishna conscious. So now, how does one stay in the family life and become liberated? Because if one advances in Krishna consciousness, he will develop a sense of detachment and lose his sense of proprietorship. This is the proof that one is advancing in Krishna consciousness. When he loses the sense of proprietorship, he starts to this false conception, this is my house. No, this is Krishna's house. And this wife my wife belongs to Krishna. My husband belongs to Krishna. These are Krishna's children. When you lose the sense of proprietorship, and then you live in a family situation, but your main focus is serving Krishna, then that's fine. That's a liberated position. In fact, if you can advance in Krishna consciousness to the point of seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, this is called Krishna Sambandha. When you can see yourself, as you advance in Krishna consciousness, you can see yourself and everyone in your environment in relationship to Krishna. That's known as Krishna Sambandha. And that person is actually liberated, even in the family situation. Iha yasya hirya dasya karmana manasa gira. This verse applies to anyone who accepts Hari as his Lord and he becomes the Haridas with his words, body, mind, and activities. Whether he's Grihastha or Sannyasi, it doesn't matter. If you're not a sannyasi going door to door begging bhikshu, then how do you develop this humility? Because this is a very powerful means to develop humility, begging. Because your false ego gets cracked. You get smashed and denied and refused and chased and spit upon when you beg. Not everyone welcomes you with open arms and washes your feet and sprinkles rose petals over your head and stuffs a glumjaman in your mouth. It's not like that. Maybe in Gujarat it's like that. But not in other places, in Germany and France and Europe. You go door to door and you get shot. Someone pulls a gun on you. So how do you develop this humility? So we go to the God brother, to the God sister and say, please, I beg you, accept my humble obeisances. So we go to the God brother and God sisters and we offer obeisances. 1,000 times, 2,000 times. In a life? Or in a day? Das Goswami would offer 2,000 obeisances in a day. And we don't even offer 2,000 obeisances in 1,000 days or in 100 years. We offer one a day, that's 300 a year, if we're lucky, because we don't come to Mangalartik all the time and offer the institutional, you know, one obeisances. So we offer maybe 300, we miss a few artiks a year. So we offer 300 obeisances after the artik, the official institutional namaskar. The institutional namaskar. Okay, everyone, down on your knees. Offer your respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. So that's the institutional namaskar. So it's 300 a year, so after 10 years, you maybe offer, 3,000 or something. There's nothing. So this is how you can stay in the family life and develop this humility by offering obeisances to God brothers. Jai Sri Sigourney Tan. So, Prabhupada said, is this possible to stay in family life, become liberated, become fully Krishna conscious, if you center your life around Krishna Sankirtan, worshipping the deities, and associating with devotees? These are the three formulas. So one can stay in the family life and become Krishna conscious, become a pure devotee. However, this verse and this section of Bhagavatam and other sections of the Bhagavatam say, watch out. Be careful. This is a great trick of Maya, this family life. Man is Maya for the woman, and woman is Maya for the man. And you're tightly entangled in the family life. So therefore, the Vedas say, you can judge yourself. Is your mind becoming conquered? Are you becoming humble? Are you becoming detached? You've been married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Is it working? Are you becoming Krishna conscious in the family? And generally the answer is N-O. No. Frankly speaking. So some people can say yes, fine. Carry on, Hare Krishna. If the answer is no, which is the majority answer, then all the rishis will say, okay, leave it, drop it, forget it. So this verse is saying that. You want to conquer the mind, go live alone. Get away from your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your uncle and your cousin and your mother and your father and birthdays and Christmas and Thanksgiving and everything. And go to the forest and beg for your maintenance. Chant Hare Krishna. Beg, live simply, live detached, avoid the non-devotees, and fix your mind, body, and words in the service of Krishna. This is sannyas. We'll stop there. Any questions or comments? He says, Lord Chaitanya forbade to take sannyas. No, the Vedas, he didn't forbade, he took sannyas. But the question was that Lord Chaitanya forbid or prohibited anyone from taking sannyas. But as far as we understand, it's a Vedic injunction. In the age of Kali, certain things aren't done. One thing is the Ashvamedha or Gomedha Jagya and producing children and the wife of your sister-in-law or something like that. And then the other one is taking sannyas. One should not take sannyas in the age of Kali. It's forbidden by Vedic injunction. But Lord Chaitanya, of course, he established the Vedic injunctions by his very, very behavior. He took sannyas. And many of his followers were also sannyasis. his associates, at least, coming from Ishwar Puri, Paramananda Puri, and Sri Damodar and others. And one purport, Prabhupada says that Gadadhar Pandit was also sannyas, Kshetra sannyas, and even mentions one other devotee took sannyas also. So we take sannyas following the example of Lord Chaitanya for preaching. And we depend on Lord Chaitanya. If it's wrong in Kali Yuga, then it's up to, we're just surrendered to him. But we see that sannyas is going on in Kali Yuga. Ramanujas take sannyas, Madhvas take sannyas, and they know the Shastras much better than we do. And they're still perpetuating Shankara. Shankarites, they know the Shastras so much. So sannyas is acceptable. But as I mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur said it's not so much advised. Better stay peacefully in the grihastha life and become Krishna conscious. It's difficult, no doubt. Of course, sannyas is not easy either, you can see. The main point is become Krishna conscious. Sannyas, what does sannyas mean? It means become renounced, detached. So this process is the same for everyone. Everyone has to chant the holy name, surrender to the holy name, serve the holy name. Surrender to the Vaishnavas, serve the Vaishnavas. Surrender to Guru, serve Guru. Think of Krishna. Whether you're a grihastha or a vanaprastha sannyasi, it's the same. Griya takva, vane takva. Bhakti Mohan sings, whether you're in the griha or whether you're in the vane, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It's Harinam. That's the thing. Lord Chaitanya, 99.5% of his followers were grihasthas. You know, when you look at all his associates, they're all grihasthas, but they were all liberated souls, or they became liberated by the process of Krishna consciousness and the mercy of Mahaprabhu. Kieran? But he's kind of refining the point. He said that history shows that no one until the time of Bhakti Siddhanta, none of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Up until Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Reinstated the principle of taking sannyas. So this is something revolutionary, something different. So the question is, you know, it's forbidden in Kali Yuga, but maybe it's forbidden, but people still take sannyas. But Lord Chaitanya's followers, no one took sannyas until Bhakti Siddhanta came along. So something. I mean, when you say the name Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then immediately you have to say revolution, harmony, synthesis, unity, and diversity. Param Gurudev Ki Jai. Because he did so many things. So the question really is, when in relation to the revolutionary preaching and activities of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the question really is, can a eternally liberated, can a Nitya Manjari or Nitya Sakhi start a Sampradaya or start a whole preaching movement? Can Lalita Sakhi come down and start a preaching movement? Can Vishaka Sakhi come down and start a preaching movement? Can Rupa Manjari come down and start a preaching movement? Come down to this material world. What is the question? Yes or no? Yes, they can. Lita came as Surup Damodar, Vishaka came as Ramananda Roy, Rupa Manjari came as Rupa Goswami, Rupanuga Vaishnava. So when they come, they preach in revolutionary ways, amazing ways, and they take the Vedas, and they take the Vedic literatures, and they draw out the bhakti essence, and they broadcast that, and say, this is the meaning of Veda. So many revolutionary things they did. So when Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Anitya Manjari, Nayanamani Manjari, when he comes into this world, or she comes into this world, naturally, being inspired by divinity, she or he will do so many wonderful revolutionary activities to spread Krishna consciousness. And who are we to question? And who are we to doubt? Can we see who's who? Can we see the eternal identity of any of the associates of Lord Chaitanya? Can we see the eternal identity of our own spiritual master? Can we see our own eternal identity? So when we're following Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, practically speaking, we're the Saraswat Sampradaya. Saraswat Sampradaya. Just like when Mahaprabhu's followers were preaching and teaching, Narahari Chakravarti wrote in Bhakti Ratnakara, said, for some purposes, Mahaprabhu said, we're the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we're Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, but actually, we're the Nimananda Sampradaya. Nimananda, Nimayananda. We're the Nimananda, we're the Gauranga Sampradaya. We're followers of Gauranga. Because his teachings, although he took two teachings from Ramanuja and two from Madhva and two from Nimbarka, but actually his teachings are unique. His teachings are his own. He's the inaugurator, the father of the Sankirtan movement. He's the inaugurator and the initiator of this Prema Dharma. No one else came to spread Prema Dharma except Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's unique, but just to show some fidelity and some grounding or foundation in the accepted four sampradayas, he showed some link with the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But actually, he's the Gauranga Sampradaya. So in a similar way, we're the Saraswat Sampradaya, a branch of the Gauranga Sampradaya, a branch of the Chaitanya's tree known as Saraswat Sampradaya. We follow Saraswati Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.